Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the Worldview. That's right. We're back. It's a show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought, and it's good to have you with us, coming to you from 1 mile high in Colorado, a good place to look down on all of you. No, I would never do that. Certainly not. It's a hot Sunday here, and we're ready to dive in and bring you some edification and some entertainment. And we're going to start, as I often like to do, start with something lighthearted and or uplifting. This is a story that I picked up over at CNN. 5-year-old Jocelyn Rojas was playing in her front yard in Lancaster, PA, when she vanished last Thursday afternoon. Authorities believe she was abducted by a man who lured her by offering her ice cream. Well, Tamar Boggs, a 15-year-old young man, and his friend took off on their bicycles to search for little Jocelyn. And about a half a mile away, they spotted her in a sedan. The two teens chased the alleged kidnapper on their bikes for 15 heart-pounding minutes. The driver knew he was being followed and stopped, and he let the young girl out. The 15-year-old Tamar Boggs and his friend on a bicycle saved the girl from what CNN calls the alleged kidnapper. Now, you can allege whether it's this particular guy or that particular guy, but in this case, there was definitely a kidnapper because Tamar Boggs chased him down. They just haven't caught him yet. Jocelyn's relatives, including her grandmother, said, "Tamar is our hero."
I'm a hero.
Amen. Now, that is a hero. Tamar Boggs, great American, no doubt. A term that is thrown around much too loosely these days. Certain radio shows, all you have to do is make a call and you're a great American all of a sudden. But I think there's much higher standards for a great American, at least in my economy. And Tamar Boggs, 15 years old, qualifies. Now, at last report, CNN says police were still looking for the suspect. And they have a quote here from the young hero, Tamar. He says, quote, "I just feel like I did something very accomplishing today." Unquote. All right, well, his public school is showing just a little bit, but he's still a hero. His grammar may not be perfect, but we're willing to give him that. Now, you know, this brings something to mind, this kid and his grammar. Not to take anything away from his heroic efforts. But you know what I've found has been lost this past week or two in all the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman hype and news coverage is Trayvon's parents were divorced. And Trayvon would have never been in that neighborhood if his father hadn't been shacking up with his new girlfriend. And not only his divorced parents and the brokenness of his family, but his apparent drift into juvenile delinquency, which often happens when homes are broken and children are abandoned by one or more of their parents. It's really sad because the whole thing could have been avoided. And the situation could have been much better if Trayvon had an intact household. That's just one of the factors, but I just want to point it out that nobody seems to be willing to talk about that. I think it's politically incorrect to judge people who have been divorced as failures. Okay? And if you're divorced and you're not ready to admit that you failed, then you're deluding yourself, and you'll probably never recover. If you can admit that you failed and learn how to build a proper relationship, then you can definitely, you're salvageable, but you first got to admit that you failed. And nobody wants to admit that divorce is a failure anymore. Nobody even wants to talk about it. Another thing, Trayvon Martin's friend, Rachel Jontel, who was on the phone with him at the time of the incident, Rachel Jontel is a stunning example of the failures of both the government schools and modern parenting. Just a sad thing to watch that young girl try to string 5 words together. And I believe it's a result of genuine child abuse. And I think that those of you who leave your kids to the pop culture and the government schools to be raised, you're abusing your children. And I think Rachel Jontel is a stunning example of that, shocking example of the type of child abuse that goes on in the country every day disguised as parenting. All right. But kudos to Tamar Box, a hero at 15. And he saved that girl from the kidnapper. You gotta love that. All right, now from there, we move to the bad religion file. CNN has identified 6 types of atheists. Yeah, and CNN should know. I think they identified the 6 types of atheists by surveying their staff. And they found all 6 on the CNN. Now, I'm not going to go into all these 6 types of atheists. I might put a link on the show, but, well, that's really all I had on that. Introduce that story just to take a backhanded, give CNN a backhanded insult was the only reason I brought that story up. I really don't care about the 6 types of atheists. And CNN apparently does. That's from their religion and belief blog. Yeah, 6 types of atheists. Since CNN is not qualified to talk about actual religion or faith, they do find themselves qualified to do a review of all the different types of atheism that are experienced daily at the set, on the set at CNN. All right. Now, from the bad religion file, we go to the personhood file. So from one end of the spectrum to the other, the exact opposite end, a bill has been introduced in Wisconsin by Republican Andre Jock, a member of Pro-Life Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Right to Life, the Knights of Columbus, and the National Rifle Association. Now, this guy qualifies as a great American. Yeah, he's a Republican member of the legislature there in Wisconsin. He's introduced a personhood bill, and the language reads as this: as applied to the right to life, the terms people and person shall apply to every human being at any stage of development, period. Yeah! That's for you, Andre. Way to go. Let's see here. This story is from a blog called GodDiscussion.com. That's where I pulled this off the wire, so to speak. Personhood amendments, according to the author of GodDiscussion.com, personhood amendments are controversial because they ban abortion in all circumstances. And zygotes are considered human beings. Zygotes are considered human beings? Have you looked into embryology or, I don't know, biology 101? They're not considered human beings. They actually are human beings. Those of us involved in the personhood movement would just like the government to recognize the obvious fact that zygotes, human zygotes, are in fact human beings and people with a right to life. That's all. Yes, yes. So this brings to mind, what if this was an anti-puppy stomping bill? And they said, well, puppies would be considered actual dogs. Puppy stomping. I had a guy, we're petitioning at a church this morning, I and my family, out gathering signatures for personhood for the Colorado personhood amendment, the Brady Amendment. And I had a fella, he just shook my hand. He said, boy, I appreciate the good work you folks are doing. It's good work. And I said, really, is it all that good? I said, I'm not necessarily a good person. I'm just against killing babies, you know? It's kind of like being against stomping puppies. It doesn't qualify you as a great American. It just qualifies you as a basically decent human being. That's all. Basic entry into the Brotherhood of Man requires that you be against killing babies and stomping on puppies. That's all. So, personhood amendments are controversial because they ban abortion in all circumstances, said the author of God Discussion. He could have said rape laws are controversial because they ban rape in all circumstances, and women are considered human beings. Anyway, just testing the worldview of the author here by just a small logic exercise. I had another logic exercise. I've sent the question out to a couple of associates of mine who are pro-abortion regulation. They are for the regulation of the killing of innocent people. They think it doesn't hurt our cause and that, in fact, it probably helps our cause. So I sent them a question. I said, imagine if you were summoned to the Capitol and told that you would be given the ability to end all abortion, all legal abortion in America. All you have to do is take the certain woman and put her in your car and drive her down to a nearby abortion clinic, pay for her abortion, and when she's finished getting the abortion, you drive her home. And once we certify that she's home and the abortion's been complete, we'll pass an amendment that will ban abortion in America in all cases. And history will record that your actions did it. So the question is, would you do it? Would you participate in one abortion to end all legal abortion in America? Well, I haven't gotten an answer yet, but it's the weekend. I'm willing to give them a little time to think about it. But if you answer the question no, no matter what your worldview, no matter what your belief system, if you answer the question no, I would not myself participate in the killing of an innocent person, even if it meant an end to the legalized murder of innocent children. If you answer no, then you've got to ask yourself why. And if you can figure out why, then maybe you'll understand why, if you wouldn't do it, you shouldn't be authorizing anyone else to do it, which is what abortion regulations do. When they acknowledge the right to kill innocent people in certain circumstances, you're basically just taking that situation that you said you wouldn't do, and you're allowing other people to do it. You're putting it on them. And we are our brother's keeper. Anyway, just something to think about. If you think abortion regulations are okay, run that one through your mind. See if you're really okay with it. Could you do it, is the question. All right. Now, another shot here from the personhood file. Now, this should be a surprise to no one. This is from campusreform.org. I'm not familiar with the website, but I'm sure it has something to do with the university. They have a video posted on YouTube. A conservative pundit asked students if they support bro choice. That's B-R-O, bro choice. What is bro choice, you might ask? Bro choice is where a young man is pro-choice because if women didn't have access to abortion on demand, well, they couldn't fornicate as often. Basically, it increases their chances of seducing young women. And he went around and asked college-age men if they were pro-choice because it meant they could have more women, and a shocking number of them said, yes, I am. One student said, that's a true fact. Another said, bro choice is the right choice, because if you want to fornicate, you best go with the bro choice. Oh, they didn't say fornicate. They used other more vulgar language. But I like the biblical. And that's what high school and college age young men in America today, why are they pro-choice? Well, for this fact, that it allows them to seduce and defile young women, more young women. And they're willing. Now it used to be you'd be ashamed to admit that you would even think that. But now you say it right on a video that goes, say it right in front of a camera. Yes, that's why I'm pro-choice, so that I can defile more women and use more women. You know, I had a debate with another fellow who asked me about, well, you know, if your law passes, are you saying you want to sentence women to prison for killing their babies? Is that what you want to do? And I said, well, you know what? I think 9 times out of 10, it's not the woman who wants to kill her baby. 9 times out of 10, I think she's manipulated by other people. And yes, those people should be punished along with the abortionists. But no, I am not for locking up women. That's not what this is about. This is about protecting women who are manipulated and taken advantage of by bro-choicers on campus, dude. Disgusting, vile, filthy. Anyway, the gentleman who made the video, I suppose I should give him credit. His name is Caleb Bonham. He says, essentially, my video reveals a rarely discussed but prevalent self-centered mindset among the college-age pro-choice crowd, one that views abortion as a means to ensure materialistic, responsibility-free sex, unquote. Well, you couldn't have nailed it more perfectly than that. That's really what it's all about. And that supports my contention that the first person in the history of all humanity to ever conceive in his dark little black heart about killing an unborn child, it was not a woman who wanted to be free. It was not a woman who wanted to be liberated. It was by a man who wanted to enslave women. Hey! Hey! Woo! Women, I It is the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. So glad to have you. I got a couple of quick hits on some stories. I haven't been able to research them all that much because I was busy this Sunday morning out trying to rescue humanity from themselves. Over in Baghdad, apparently, this is from the AP. The death toll from a coordinated wave of late-night car bombings and other attacks has jumped past 70 just over this weekend. AP reports that a relentless surge in bloodshed has rocked Iraq since the start of the Islamic holy month of Ramadan. It's funny how those Muslims celebrate their holy months, blowing one another up and all. Anyway, is it unpatriotic at this point to just state that we lost that war? That the secular humanist government and the neocons lost the war in Iraq? Is that unpatriotic? I hope not, because I'm a patriot. And these humanist neocons lost the Iraq war. For reasons I've gone into, but because we've allowed a bad religion to remain entrenched instead of replacing the bad government and the bad religion with good government and good religion. Why didn't we do it? Because we don't know what it is anymore. That's why. We're not qualified to nation build any longer. And it's a sad, sad day to have to admit that about America. That exporting our ideals and our standards is detrimental to the survival of other nations. It wasn't always thus, but it is now. What else? We've got a fellow in Houston was holding homeless men captive in his garage. You remember the case in was it Cleveland, where the Castro was holding the women? Well, apparently these homeless men have been held captive in a Houston garage, in some cases for years. Police are investigating whether the men had been forced to hand over their government aid checks. Yeah, kidnapped and held captive just to have their government cheese stolen from them. The men are reported to have been homeless, and they're in their 60s, 70s, 80s. The youngest was only in his 50s. Old homeless men. The men told police that they were lured to the house with the promise of cigarettes and food. And then they were taken and held hostage for, in some cases, years. And then in Cleveland, well, back to Cleveland, three bodies have been found in the house. The suspect is a registered sex offender who has served prison time in the past. And police believe he may have been influenced by the story of another convicted serial killer, Anthony Sowell, who we covered on this show. Sowell, you'll remember, was found guilty in 2011 of killing 11 women and hiding their remains around his Cleveland home. According to this article from CNN, Sowell was sentenced to death, but he remains alive in an Ohio prison. He remains alive and inspiring other maniacs. Just unbelievable. Keeping people alive who should not live. And killing people who should not die. Well, God hates that. What else do I have here? Oh, pastors in Iowa were laying hands on Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and Reince Priebus. And praying for them. Yeah. This was out in Des Moines, Iowa. They had a big powwow amongst all the Christians. Apparently, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and Reince Priebus have started up the 2016 presidential election with the essential first step. First step, bamboozle the Christians. That's right. Reince Priebus is an expert in that area. So Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, I'm not going to say anything, but Reince Priebus, if they laid hands on him, I hope that they had some hand sanitizer handy after that. Lay hands on Reince Priebus, for crying out loud. So that's what's going on out there in Iowa. Bamboozle the Christians. That's the first step. All right. All right. Now, let's go across the pond as we continue to document the decline and fall of Western civilization. Queen Elizabeth II has given her royal stamp of approval to homosexual weddings in the United Kingdom. According to this article from the Washington Post, the Queen's approval was a mere formality, and it is the last step necessary for a bill legalizing homosexual marriage to become law. The law enables homosexual couples to get married in religious ceremonies, provided that the religious institution consents. Now, did you catch that? So the government is saying that, homosexuals can get married in a church, but the church has to consent. Now, at the moment, the Church of England, which is England's official faith, and faith would be in quotes there, big time, currently the Church of England is barred from performing such ceremonies. So we know what's next on the homo activists, the British homo activists over there. The next step will be to cow the church, which should be fairly simple. And then the last vestige of Christianity will have been expunged from Europe altogether, clearing the way for 1,000 years of darkness. Yeah. I find it ironic to juxtapose the legalization of homosexual marriage in England with the royal baby watch. Now, at last report, the baby still hasn't come, right? Can you check on that? I'm having my crack staff check to see if the baby has come. But at least when we, as we go to air, the baby has not come, but all of England is on the edge of their seat waiting for the delivery of the royal baby, which is a good and healthy thing. It's a little bit corny, I know, but I find it encouraging that there are people in England who are still excited to see a baby born and to see a man marry a woman and see something natural happen. It's probably just all the older people in England, you know, and that's the sad thing. But every morning I've been checking the wire to see, because I want to know, is the royal baby a boy or a girl? I want to know. And I think normal people do want to know. And for the Queen to have done this, well, what can you say? I mean, Europe is done. You're toast. You might as well start building the minarets and bowing east to Mecca, okay? Because it's over. The Queen has abdicated, so to speak. All right. Oh, speaking of the United Kingdom, we have a story from the Bad Religion file here, quoting the Bishop of Salisbury, who's always reliable when it comes to the Bad Religion file. It's the Right Reverend Nicholas Hotham. And he says that, he wrote a letter to the newspaper, The Telegraph, and he said, quote, "Sometimes Christians have had to rethink the priorities of the gospel in light of experience." Yeah, that's the Right Reverend Nicholas Hotham. He said, "We've got to rethink our priorities." He says, "No one now supports either slavery or apartheid. The biblical texts have not changed, but our interpretations have. People who once thought that slavery and apartheid were biblical have changed their minds. And legalization of homosexual marriage has been approved in England, and I believe that allowing gay marriage would actually strengthen the church," said the Right Reverend. Yes. And he says slavery was held to be biblical, apartheid was held to be biblical, and that the Bible didn't change, but our interpretations have to change. Well, Right Reverend. Immoral interpretations of the scriptures have been used throughout history to do immoral things. And thankfully, there's a core in the church who have always been like voices in the wilderness crying out to those twisting the scriptures to further their immoral ends. There's always been a core of people, a remnant, who've called them back to the narrow path. So when immoral interpretations change, well, that's a good thing. But this is the opposite of that. This is the moral biblical interpretation of some of the most fundamental common sense biology and theology and sociology that exists. The moral understanding of that is being twisted and turned upside down. And it's the opposite of what you say. And that brings the woe to those who would call light darkness and darkness light. Woe unto you. Yep. Start building the minarets. Start building the burqa factories in Lincolnshire, in the West End. Yeah, it's all over in Europe. That's just sad to see. The Queen's gone and abdicated. The Right Reverend says it'll strengthen the church. It's sad to see that an empire once as great as England. And one of the key vectors for the gospel in the world was that island. That island kingdom has now been overrun by homosexuals, and they've even gotten to the queen, for crying out loud. Unbelievable. All right, so now immorality is right out in the open. It's public, and it's not surprising. You know, 40 or 50 years of the well-regulated murder of innocent people can cause any civilization, any group of people, to lose touch with just common sense fundamental morality. And so now here in America, I go to this story, another story from CNN, where you can find all these stories about public immorality with no fear of prosecution. They've got a story in here on professional liar services. Did you catch that? Professional liars. Yeah. And there's a company in Forest Lake, Michigan. They claim they will lie to anyone about anything. The name of the company is Paladin Deception Services. And their customers include cheating spouses, people who need to get a day off of work, job seekers who want to lie about their resume. And they're right there on the internet in front of God and everybody advertising their services to lie, to bear false witness right there in public. And do you think they're afraid that the FBI is going to come and shut them down? They're not afraid. There's what the Ashley Madison is, a service where you can sign up to commit adultery, and it's public, right there in public. Now, Facebook did pull the ad that Paladin was running from its site back in May because it says the company is inappropriate and misleading. Well, that's their job, is to be inappropriate and misleading. And I think they're fairly straightforward, at least about that. They publicly declare, we'll lie to your boss, we'll lie to your wife, we'll lie to anybody about anything for you. And the bottom line is the FBI should be kicking in their doors and shutting them down. You can't. I mean, can you now? Well, there are other companies that are doing the same thing. Now, Paladin employs five full-time liars and several part-time liars. But there's other websites.
Does it have a title?
Yes, liars. I'm a professional liar. Well, let's see your resume. It's like 5 pages thick. Wow, you are the president of Zimbabwe? Oh, you brought peace to the Middle East? I think we better hire you. There's other companies. CareerExcuse.com will lie to your potential employer for $65. The reference store is another website, and Fake Your Job. These companies advertise to provide fake job references, and they do it in public with no fear of the authorities coming in and shutting them down. It's just shocking what people are doing in public anymore. It's hard to believe that we've come this far. That we've fallen this far, I suppose I should say. It's tragic, really. It's tragic. But apparently, somewhere along the line, we were all convinced by some lawyers and some judges that we were going to tolerate and regulate sin. And I think it started with abortion. Maybe it started before abortion. I don't know. I was born in the 60s, so I don't have a frame of reference of experience before that. But it seems that's where it started, that the government is now in the business of crime, regulating it, tolerating it, processing the people who are involved in the industry. You can't regulate that kind of stuff, folks. You can't. And certainly the government should give no place to any of this kind of stuff. But they're involved. And hence, I guess we're all involved. Speaking of regulation, I want to get an opinion from my extremely attractive audio engineer. There's a basketball player who plays for the New Jersey Nets. Are you familiar with the Nets? No? You don't have any fathead posters on the wall of the New Jersey Nets player Andrei Kirilenko? Apparently, he's a basketball player. Well, his wife, Masha, she says that he's allowed to cheat on her one night a year. And she says that she does that in order to curb his temptation throughout the year while he's on the road. So she's decided to regulate adultery within her marriage. Now, how successful do you think this is going to be? Do you think it actually curbs his wanderlust spirit there on the road, Masha?
I think every year he's going to can I have one more?
Yeah, it just doesn't work, ladies and gentlemen. You can't regulate adultery within your marriage, for crying out loud. Unbelievable. So anyway, when these two get divorced, and I should start a pool right now on how long these two will be together before they get divorced. When these two get divorced, I will update my assertion with a fact that will prove the underlying assertion that it is counterproductive to try to regulate crime and sin. All right, we're rounding second, and I'm so glad to have you aboard as we discuss the big issues of the day through the lens of original thought. What's original thought, by the way? I go back to Genesis. That's the first original thought, and then you can go forward from there. There's 65 other books that all relate to that same original thought. Gosh, do I want to do this on this woman from England? There's a woman in England. No, she's not in England, but she is a Cambridge-educated research scientist. And she has a disorder, according to psychiatrists. The head shrinkers say that she suffers from body integrity identity disorder. Are you familiar with that one? Well, she's a Cambridge-educated research scientist, and she wants to live in a wheelchair. Yet, she rejects her own legs. She says she's even found a doctor who's willing to help her become disabled by cutting her sciatic and femoral nerves. But she can't afford the surgery. Yeah. Can you believe this? Chloe Jennings White. Chloe Jennings White. She first realized she was different at the age of 4. She said she saw her aunt using leg braces after a bike accident. She said she wanted leg braces. Well, that can happen to a 4-year-old. You're a 4-year-old. You love your aunt. You see her with braces. You think it's cool. Well, by the age of 9, she was completely delusional, and she wanted to be crippled, and she pedaled her bike off a 4-foot-high stage and landed on her neck. She said she wanted to stop her legs from working. And she says, I know I could have broken my neck or died. Did I mention she's a Cambridge-educated research scientist? Folks, now she's considered having her legs amputated. She wants to be a paraplegic.
That's an insult to the people who belong to.
It is an insult to people who are actually disabled, number one. But folks, an undisciplined and godless upbringing, augmented by a decadent, tolerant, non-judgmental society, is producing freak people like this. And producing a second and a third generation of genuinely mentally deranged people. Now, I'm sure that her family and some people in her family have probably, told her, well, you're just flat out crazy. You need to get help. This is a disorder. You have a major problem. But no, she's got a psychiatrist and a psychiatrist telling her, well, maybe you should do something about getting rid of those legs because I'd hate to see you become suicidal. Yeah, the psychiatrist says, should we paralyze her or should we wait for her to commit suicide? How about slap her in the face and tell her she's out of her mind? No, it's too late for that. You see, someone back at the age of 4 didn't tell her that every wild thing that's going on in her imagination should not be entertained. You shouldn't entertain every stray thought that goes through your skull as a child. And it's the adult's job to tell the children where the boundaries are. Yes, I know Auntie's braces look cool, but paraplegic life is not what you want, young. But nobody told her that. They just said, oh, she's such a wonderful child. She's creative and she wants to... She loves her aunt. Anyway, why did I do this story? It's just to depress myself. I don't know. All right, so let's turn from one mental disorder to another. Ben Bernanke gave his semi-annual testimony before the House Committee on Financial Services. And he was, according to Forbes magazine, Bernanke was very clear about how the central bank engages in quantitative easing. He was asked by a congressman, "Do you create the reserves? Are you printing money?" The congressman finally said. And Bernanke said, "Not literally." Not literally. So we're not actually printing it. We don't do printing presses anymore. I mean, we're not technically, well, yes, he said, we are creating the reserves, but we're not literally printing money, says Ben. So that's cognitive dissonance for Ben. Just because you're not actually printing it, Ben, but you're depositing it and buying bonds with electronic funds, you're still printing money, Ben. People think this guy's a genius. Conservative people think he's a genius. I don't get it myself. Bernanke said that the quantitative easing, which is the purchase of assets that other people won't buy by the Federal Reserve, those asset purchases are set to come to an end at some point in mid-2014. And when he was asked by another congressman why interest rates had surged from April to June, Bernanke pointed to the improving economy. And then a few minutes later, Bernanke said the reason rates are low is that the economy is weak and inflation is low. Now, toward the end of the testimony, Ben Bernanke did admit that if the Fed reduces its accommodation, that the economy would tank. He actually said that. And by the way, what is the accommodation? That's the continued buying of risky assets that other free men will not buy. Free men and free markets will not buy these assets. So the Federal Reserve comes in and they buy them, falsely propping up a market that should be allowed to run its course. And it's probably going to be ugly. But basically, I think Bernanke admitted that they're setting us up for a fall. And probably not intentionally and not some grand conspiracy to collapse the system. They're just incompetent liberals. They don't know right from wrong. And so they don't see any problem with stealing the money of future generations, stealing the wealth and the capital of future generations. Whoever said that an unborn child has a right to any property anyway, right? They don't have a right to life. Who are we to say we can't take their property before they're even born, for crying out loud? All right. So that's from the economics file. Now, we go to the science, really, file. Yes, from WorldNet Daily. An anthropology professor at UCLA was interviewed on the subject of evolution. And some people just don't accept evolution as true. And the professor responded to the question, why do you think people, Christians especially, don't believe in evolution? She was asked this by Ray Comfort. A fellow I really dig. He's a great guy. So Ray Comfort asked, and the professor, this is an anthropology professor at UCLA, she says, the problem with those who are unable to see evolution, I think, is they don't have imaginations. Hence this story lands in the science. Really? File? I'm not sure of any scientific experiment that requires imagination. But apparently there. Anyway, Mr. Ham, I'm sorry, not Ken Ham, they quote Ken Ham, some other stuff, they went after P.Z. Myers. I don't have time for all this, but apparently Mr. Comfort is going to release this video that basically embarrasses all these evolutionists with their completely unscientific answers to the questions posed, as Ray Comfort is so good at doing. You just need a little more imagination, man. Come over here. I got some of these magic mushrooms, man. Check it out. Munch on these, dude, and I'll explain how everything just popped out of nothing, man. Yeah. Just need to expand our just need to expand our horizons in order to understand. All right, now, one more from the science, really, file. The CNN reports that researchers have new evidence that gold comes from the collision of neutron stars. That's right, an astronomer at the Harvard Smithson Center for Astrophysics said, quote, "We can account for all the gold in the universe from these collisions of stars." And this information has been submitted, according to CNN, for publication in the Astrophysical Journal Letters. It was announced at a press conference last week. Here's what the scientist says. All these elements, they were swirling around between stars and the gases, and they eventually became part of subsequent generations of stars like our sun and the gold and platinum and uranium and all these little pieces of neutron stars that merged in our galaxy long before our sun was born. And then some of that gold from space, you see, it became part of the formation of our Earth. Yeah. And now the gold was present at the Earth's formation, you see, but then it sank down into the core. Now, the reason we have gold that can be mined that's closer to the surface of the planet, that's because meteorites brought that gold later, you see. Yeah, that was from the meteorites. And I have a study I can quote on that, by the way. Basically, a shower of meteorites hit the Earth, and they brought all the gold with them. And that's why there's gold that's in the planet's mantle. And I have a study I can point you to on that. All right. So, I believe, and I hope I can remember this correctly, because it was explained to me by Bob Enyart as we were driving to Montana. I believe the more accurate theory for where gold comes from and other heavy elements is they were actually created at the very beginning of the flood when the fountains of the great deep were broken up. And the fluttering of the Earth's crust actually produced a piezoelectric effect, sending electrical surges through the crust of the Earth, massive electrical surges, producing magnetic forces that basically squeezed atomic nuclei together, and some unstable super heavy elements then fissioned and decayed into subatomic particles and various isotopes, some of which were radioactive. That's what I think happened. Yeah, that's where the heavy elements came from. Now, the gold, I'm not so sure because it's not radioactive, but it could have all been part of that same process. And now the story of the stars and the swirling gas and the meteorites that fell down, that's an astronomer at the Harvard Smithson Center for Astrophysics. Now, the theory I just gave you is from a book by Colonel Walt Brown. Colonel Walt Brown wrote a book called In the Beginning. And his hydroplate theory and the theory of why the Earth looks the way it is, part of it talks about how heavy elements were formed. And by the way, Walt Brown, this fella, I'll tell you what, he's a colonel, he's an Army Ranger, a paratrooper, a West Point graduate. And for all of you smart aleck heathens out there who think you're brainiacs, and that all of us who believe in the young Earth and Noah's flood, that we're all just a bunch of hayseed hicks. Well, Walt Brown, in addition to being a colonel, a West Point graduate, an Army Ranger, a paratrooper, also has a PhD in mechanical engineering from a school called Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Yeah, he's a PhD from MIT. And he's an Army Ranger. So not only can he out-debate you, but if you decide you want to get into a fist fight, he'd probably lay you out, too. Colonel Walt Brown. Now that is a great American. Steve! North want to make a recommendation. I want to make a recommendation to everyone in the audience. If you get an opportunity, get hold of Walt Brown's book In the Beginning, because if you want to get fired up about the evidence, the scientific evidence for the young earth, the creation, and especially Noah's flood, I mean, Walt Brown, that book, it blows my mind. Anyway, I hope that when my kids are high school age, that book is the foundation of their scientific education. I make that a point. I've made that a point to introduce them to that book. It's a little difficult for me to understand, being one who matriculated in the government education system of the 1980s. But hopefully my children, having been homeschooled, will be able to understand it by the time they're 15. Daddy's still struggling with it at the age of about 40. All right, now let's go to the politics file. Hillary Clinton has spoken about the Trayvon Martin case. Yeah, Hillary, and you know when Hillary Clinton speaks, you know, you need to take a Valium or something just to get down on her monotone level. She says, "My prayers are with the Martin family and with every family who loses someone who is lost to violence. No mother, no father should ever have to fear for their child walking down a street in the United States of America." Crowd went wild. Someone needs to remind Hillary that the most dangerous place for a young child is actually inside their mother's womb, and that's because of the advocacy of Hillary Clinton and other lawyers for the past generation, that innocent people in certain circumstances can be murdered. Hillary. She was speaking. I don't know where she was speaking. She was giving a speech in front of a bunch of liberal saps, okay? And at the end, as she exited the stage, her potential 2016 bid for president wasn't far from people's minds, according to Politico. A chant erupted with audience members chanting, "Run, Hillary, run! Run, Hillary, run!" Yeah. Now, apparently that chant was in regards to her 2016 presidential campaign and not the result of an angry mob running her out of town on a rail, which is what it should have been. Run, Hillary, run! They're coming with pitchforks! All right. So Hillary will be running. Oh, now, from the science really file, we have, this is also finds its way into the personhood file. This is from The Guardian in the United Kingdom. Scientists have corrected the genetic fault that causes Down syndrome in isolated cells, raising the prospect of a radical therapy to treat Down syndrome. The Guardian reports that in an elegant series of experiments, researchers silenced the extra chromosome that causes the condition. A treatment for Down syndrome based on this work is now a distant hope. The first major step towards a chromosome therapy for Down syndrome. That's amazing. So globally, about 1 in 1,000 births are Down syndrome babies. And before this research, of course, up until now, to this very day, people are encouraged to kill these children. And that's one of the exceptions that is in so many of these abortion regulations that pro-lifers have been passing for decades, that it's okay to kill babies like this who are disabled. And look at this. What are you people going to say when scientists figure out a way to cure it? How are you people going to feel? You brutal heathens. Unbelievable. All your abortion regulations are a lie. And those of you who accede to the killing of even one disabled baby are liars. You're not pro-life. You may be deceived. I admit that. And your heart may be in the right place, but you're lying. Not even one innocent person. We can't tolerate the killing of even one disabled baby. If you know anything about human nature, you know that the tolerance for the killing of one leads to the tolerance of the killing for any. Just like the basketball player and his wife thinks she can tolerate one a year. Yeah, well, we'll see how that works out. I mean, don't you know, don't you even understand the fundamental basics of human nature? I mean, I think I understood that by seventh grade, right? If you tolerate the bully who pushes you around and takes your lunch money, before long he'd take your shoes, and then he'll steal your car. You cannot tolerate sin, and you cannot tolerate crime. It has to be illegal. That's all. Not illegal except for this and that and this. It has to be illegal. It's just common sense, for crying out loud. Is the world that insane? Apparently it is. All right, from the Culture File, another story regarding the state of parenthood in America. A 10-month-old baby in Arkansas was airlifted to a Little Rock hospital after she ingested methamphetamine that belonged to her grandmother. Her grandmother, I said. This is from Breitbart. The baby's 20-year-old mother heard the baby screaming, found the baby vomiting, and called 911. When an ambulance arrived, the mother handed the police a plastic baggie that appeared to have been chewed on, and she let her know that her mom was a methamphetamine addict. Officers arrested the grandmother, and they also cited the mother for endangering the welfare of a minor by letting her hang out in a meth head's house. In a statement to local reporters, the mother said, quote, "I can't have my baby back on the simple fact that my mama has a drug history, and leaving my baby with my mama while I was going to a job interview was my fault. They're taking away my baby because of that." Folks, the brokenness of our society is so massive, it's so massive as to require supernatural intervention. Only God himself can stem the rising tide of calamity that is engulfing our civilization. Now, fortunately, he is here. He is around. His spirit dwells in those who believe in him and follow him and acknowledge him and not only know that he's God, but worship him as God. So he is here in the form of his people. And that's why I say to you heathens, when you get to the point where you're just about to all kill yourselves, you'll be begging the Christians to come and save you from yourselves. And you know what? We're benevolent people. We will be here for you. All right. Now, do I even want to do this? Because this is Cedro Woolley, Washington. This is from the Olympian newspaper up in Washington State. Trevor Braymiller is a convicted felon, and he is not allowed to own firearms, according to the authorities in Skagit County, Washington. They say he's a convicted felon. He is not allowed to own firearms. But police responded to calls of a child shot early this Sunday at his house. The 4-year-old boy was transported to Skagit Valley Hospital and was pronounced dead. The house where the shooting occurred is well known to authorities. Just a couple years ago, police conducted a drug raid there. Braymiller's a convict. Another example of keeping people alive who should not live. A man who should have received the death penalty himself has instead redirected it upon someone else who was innocent. In this case, a 4-year-old boy. I'm not sure how this could have possibly happened, though, because this convicted felon was not allowed to have firearms. There was a rule in place that prevented him from having firearms. By the way, he's on the run. He fled the scene after this 4-year-old boy was shot and killed. All right. I don't think I can do this story. I can't do that. It's just too depressing. If I do any more stories about these kids, I'm going to lose it, I tell you. All right. A couple more because we're almost out of time. Over in Egypt, folks, Egypt's Muslim extremists, according to Fox News, they're angry that Mohamed Morsi's been kicked out of office. So who are they attacking? The Christians. Yeah. On Thursday, the body of a Christian merchant abducted last week was found decapitated in the Sinai. Attacks on Coptic Christians and their churches have escalated. Last Saturday, Coptic Christian priest Mina Aboud Sharabin was shot dead by gunmen in an outdoor market. Egypt's Coptic community, according to Fox, has often been imprisoned and tortured for their Christian faith. That's from the Bad Religion file. If we're going to win the Middle East, this religion must be, it can't be tolerated. You can't tolerate Islam, I'm sorry. Not even the nice Muslims who are your neighbors. And I'm convinced, folks, that if we Christians just had the courage of our convictions and had the guts to stand up and tell people that Islam is a lie and we can save you out of it, let me introduce you to Jesus Christ, that we could destroy Islam without having to kill everybody. They'll convert. Christianity is a much better deal than Islam. These people are enslaved. We don't need to be over there setting up welfare programs for Muslims. We need to be over there building churches. And if we build enough churches, I'm convinced that the citizens throughout the Middle East will tear down their own mosques. All right. From the world of sports, two football players, Mike and Marquise Pouncey, they're football players. They played at the University of Florida with Aaron Hernandez, the murderer. Well, they've got pictures of themselves online with hats stitched with the words, "Free Hernandez!" Yeah, they were at a birthday party. They had Free Hernandez hats on. So what do? They take pictures of it and put it up on the web for God and everybody to see. No shame in being a corrupt and even supporting a murderer. The Pouncies, these two football-playing brothers, have been linked to Hernandez's off-field activities as police continue to probe Hernandez's past for clues relating to the current murder charges he faces, as well as a number of other murders. These two punks, the Pouncies, they were mentioned in a report after investigation of a double shooting. Police also wanted to speak to Hernandez about that shooting, but no charges were ever filed. Mike Pouncey plays for the Steelers. Marquise plays for the Miami Dolphins. Hernandez is charged with the execution-style murder of 27-year-old Odin Lloyd. According to this article from the New York Daily News, the Pro Football Hall of Fame has taken down a photo of Hernandez after several visitors actually complained about it. They were like, "Excuse me, you have this murderer, blah, big picture." So the Football Hall of Fame took it down. Apparently someone at the Football Hall of Fame still has some shame. All right. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to have to close with this. I have some other stories, but I literally cannot do them because they break my heart. I can't do it. I can't talk about some of this stuff. It gets to me after a while. So I'm going to go to the War is Hell file, a story about a Marine. A Marine who was fined and demoted for urinating on Taliban. You remember this story, right? The Marine, he urinated on the Taliban corpses back in 2011. Yeah, one of his sniper team members, Sergeant Mark Bradley, had been killed by a roadside bomb days before the incident. And this gentleman, Sergeant Joseph Chamberlain, said he didn't consider the fact that urinating on these dead bodies of the Taliban whom he killed, he didn't consider the fact that that would endanger other troops. But he considered the psychological effect it would have on the enemy because according to Taliban ritual, if an infidel touches the body, well, then the dead Muslim doesn't get to go to Mecca or paradise. So he thought he was doing a good thing by urinating on the Taliban. But, it was a huge story. Everyone was upset because everyone was afraid that it would cause retaliation by our Afghan allies against our troops, against the coalition troops who were training them. And in fact, it did. Now the Taliban is supposedly the enemy of our Afghan allies. But everyone was worried that these Afghan troops would start shooting up our guys because Sergeant Joseph Chamberlain and some others urinated on the Taliban. Well, he said, I didn't think of it that way. Taliban's supposedly their enemy too, right? Well, anyway, Mr. Sergeant Joseph Chamberlain, in an interview, asked if he would do it again. He said, "Yes, I would do it again, and I'm glad I did it. God bless the United States Marine Corps." You know, the thing about the Afghans is all their members, all of our Afghan allies are members of the same satanic death cult, Islam. Islam cannot be tolerated. It has to be eliminated. Only the Spirit of God can do it. And only the preachers. And they need preachers backed up by righteous political leaders. And well, we're found wanting in that regard. I'm Doug McBurney. This has been the Weekly Worldview. I'll be back with you next week, should the Lord tarry. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, at Denver Bible Church, at American Right to Life, and as always, my other brother, Darryl, who makes it all happen, here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. I'll be back with you next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.